how did you get into police reform activism?
September 23rd, 2015, when my brother was shot and murdered, I couldn't just sit down idly and not do anything. I couldn't just sit down and do nothing. This is my brother, you know. And then after months went on, I'm like, hold on. Actually, this is bigger than Jeremy. Like, this is way bigger than him. If you stand up and fight now, you're fighting for all of us, not just you. You're fighting for other people's family members. You got to get out there and do something. You can't just sit there, Kiki. You have to do something. So ever since then, I was working two jobs and going to school at the time down in Rehoboth for automotive technician. I gave up everything to come up here to move with my family and fight for my brother.
To the extent you want to, would you tell me a little bit about your brother? What kind of a person he was? What do you remember most about him?
What I remember most about him and what everybody remembers about him is his smile. He had this glowing smile with nothing but teeth when you seen him. He always smiling. Just because he was in a wheelchair, he wasn't born in a wheelchair. He got shot back when he was 18. One of his friends had shot him in the back six times out of jealousy. He was just a upbeat person. He loved kids. Every morning he had this routine where he would come pick up my nephew and take him to the corner store every morning to get a blue water ice. Like, my nephew would sit on the porch and wait for him. He would put the kids on his wheelchair and make go-kart noises, like he riding them around on the go-kart. All the kids knew when Uncle Bam Bam come or Mr. Bam Bam come, he got candy in his pocket. He got candy in his book bag. He gonna give us candy. So they all swarmed around him. Bam Bam was a people person. He attracted people. So he was just a good person. I'm not saying that my brother was an angel. He definitely wasn't no angel. Nobody's an angel. Nobody's perfect. He was just an ongoing person.
So obviously your brother's death is the, like, biggest experience in your life that's shaped how you see police and law enforcement. Are there other experiences that have shaped the activism that you do?
Before even my brother got murdered, they harassed my brother. I remember one time where he had got locked up on Rodney Street. He had like three bags of weed on him and he got locked up. We're thinking they're taking him to the downtown to bring charges on him. No, we get a phone call where we just seen a cop put Bam Bam out on the streets in front of Byard School. So we turn around from going to the police station to go up there to Byard School. They put my brother on the sidewalk in front of Byard School and put his wheelchair to the other end of the corner and told him to go get his wheelchair the best that he can, and told us, looked over at us and told us that we better not go get his wheelchair. It's been a lot. I never cared too much for police in general, you know, because I live in the inner city. We see a lot of stuff in the inner city. We see harassment and everything else. But what happened to my brother is what made me, like, go in the streets actually and show my face and protests and marches. People think that I'm not shy and, like, don't mind being in front of the camera. I am shy and I don't like the camera. But ever since everything happened to my brother, I had to put that to the back of my mind and do what I needed to do to protect him and anybody else in the future.
So your family, as you mentioned, has been working on this since it happened. You've been calling for change to the use of force law. There was, you know, a settlement with the city. Would you mind kind of summarizing that path of trying to get justice for your brother? And sort of what is your strategy now?
Okay, so part of the lawsuit was that Wilmington police come up with a de-escalation policy so that anybody with mental health, anybody like that was in my brother's situation or so forth, that they handle the situation differently so nobody else gets shot 16 times. We did speak to them one time, the Wilmington police and a couple other people in the Wilmington police district or whatever, the person who does the training and this senator was in a meeting, and they said that they were using my brother's situation in training, and they claimed that a certain amount of hours had to be with retraining the police every year. They had to go through a certain amount of hours or whatever, but honestly, I haven't heard anything else about it. Nobody, since Chief Tracy, I believe his name, took his position, we have never met him. I don't know, honestly, if they're doing that or not. I don't know. Heck, for all I know, they can be using my brother's picture at the shooting range to practice shooting. I don't know. So we get asked that a lot. Do they like correspond transparency? No, we haven't heard anything from the police station since the lawsuit. And I don't believe that we will.
So you've hosted rallies, you know, through the years. You've met with people. I know this summer you've hosted a couple more rallies. And would you say that they've gotten more, you know, more attendance, more attention because of the moment that we're in this country?
So my issue, I believe, with getting people out to support us, somewhat I believe it is that my protests always be on is always on a weekday. The reason why I do them on a weekday because I feel as though that's when everybody is in the buildings where we're going to, the city council building, the attorney general building, the police station, everybody is there. I feel like if we do it on a weekend, the attorney general is not there, the city council members are not there. So this Saturday, July 11th at 11 o'clock, we do have another protest that I made on a Saturday because everybody were telling me, can you please just do one on a weekend? So I do believe that every protest that we had gets a little bigger each time, a little bigger each time. And it's different faces that I don't even know. So I am seeing on this one, I did reach out for outside help this time from Philadelphia, from New Jersey, Virginia, Maryland, and Philly. I feel as though that we need outside help. We can't do this by ourselves. So it's time for us to just reach out for us outside help and see if they can help us. See, with situations, cases like my brother, police-involved shootings, the government, everybody in that state, wherever it happens at, they know that's a time limit. They know that black people, they'll fight for stuff for a little bit, and then eventually they let it die out. Everybody stops. And then they count on that. They count on people to do that. You know, so I notice in other states, they're not doing that. They're fighting every day. They're marching and protesting every day. Somebody is doing something to help that family at least once a day. So I think that by asking for outside help, that it will actually help people here come out and support as well.
So the national attention around police violence, the energy around police reform, and in some cases, abolition or defunding the police, do you feel like this is creating an environment that might lead to actual change on your brother's case? Does this moment feel different, you know, as someone who's been working on this for years?
This moment does feel different. This is something that's going to go down in history, you know, because in Delaware, I mean, look at what happened with the looting and the rioting just last month or a little bit over a month ago. That's when Delaware woke up. They woke up. You know, when you start going and start digging in their pockets, you know, that's what they don't like. You could protest, you could march and everything else, but if you start affecting their money, that's a problem. Defunding the police, I believe that in cases like my brother, police-involved shootings, that the money shouldn't come from taxpayers. The money shouldn't come from stuff. It should come from the police officer. Or if the FOP want to keep backing these cops up, it should come from their funding then. And I believe by doing that, that will give them a chance when they're in situations with, you know, with situations like my brother, in cases like my brother, police brutality, I believe that would give them a chance to stop and think for a second, to know that, hold up, if I shoot this person, you know, I can go broke, for real. I there's consequences. Right now, there's no accountability for these officers that are just going out and killing people, especially in Delaware. I believe Chris Barish did a story where he found out that it was like 52 cases of police-involved shootings since 2005. And out of them cases, no officer has ever been held accountable for anything, not even a little bit of accountability. So I believe, yeah, defunding the police, I support that.
So of the many different, reform proposals or things even kind of ranging beyond criminal justice that people are pushing for right now, what are your priorities?
My priorities have to be here in Delaware at the time, because I feel as though, like, we can go to the U.S. Attorney General's, but we need to remove that one law. Because anything else that we do, if that law is not changed with the police just being justified because they say they feel threatened for their life, anything that we do here in Delaware means nothing. It means nothing. It still justifies the police killing somebody and getting away with it.
And just to clarify, you're speaking about the use of force.
The use of force, yes.
Justifications.
Yes, the only thing an officer has to say or state is that they feel threatened for their life. Just by them saying that, it clears them of any wrongdoing that they do. It doesn't matter if it's video footage. It doesn't matter if it's witnesses. It doesn't matter if the attorney general states that something needs to be done. This officer needs to be charged. It does not matter. With that law being put in place, it still clears them.
So I know that Kathy Jennings, the attorney general, she has said that she wants to see that law changed. Now, she's obviously not a legislator. There is some support amongst legislators to clarify or change that law, but we haven't seen it done yet. Are you speaking with legislators on this? Do you feel that there is willingness in Delaware, or like, where's the pushback going to come from if such legislation comes before the General Assembly?
I haven't spoke to anybody in the legislative. I know that the NAACP is, I know that the Black Caucus is, they are pushing for it. There are people there who are pushing for it. And they are using my brother's situation as a good example of why this needs to happen. I'm all in. So if I can get involved in it, of course I want to be involved in it. That's number one priority for me.
Anything else that you wanted to add that I'm missing?
I've released photos of his body on social media. It took me years to do that. Years to do that. And I had to go back and forth with my family about it because we didn't want to put it out. You know, that's personal. But we needed people to feel what my brother felt that day. We needed people to feel what we feel every day. We needed people to see what we close, when we close our eyes, what we see, the last thing that we see of my brother. You know, people say try to remember the good memories. It's hard remembering the good memories of something like this. You know, I have nightmares. My mom has nightmares. My mom is mentally, like, messed up behind all this. Our kids even know, watch the video. Because, you know, kids on YouTube, they even seen the video of what happened to my brother. Not by us showing it to them, but just by them finding it, running across it. Like, it tore my family up. My grandma at the scene, she went up to the scene and she seen my brother's feet hanging out of the white sheet. And she had a heart attack at the scene. They had to rush her to the hospital that day. They had his body out there for, I'm thinking it's 3 hours and 47 minutes. No, it was 4.5 hours. They had his body laying on the ground. They had took all his clothes off of him. I still don't understand that. After him laying down on the ground for 3 hours, you know he's dead. What was the point of taking his clothes off of him? They said he had a gun. Now, when he fell out the wheelchair, a gun is heavy. But the way he fell out the wheelchair, he felt like kind of crooked, like back a little bit. The gun is heavy. The gun would have automatically fell. Bloop. You would have heard it in the video. Like, I just, it's a long fight. It is.